from the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, the president is acquitted, big business pulls out of school choice program, and religious freedom at home and abroad. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and homeschool dad. On Wednesday of this week, President Trump was acquitted by the Senate in the partisan impeachment trial. Joining Family Research Council President Tony Perkins to talk about it, as well as the National Prayer Breakfast, is Representative Mark Green from the 7th District of Tennessee.
Congressman Green, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks, Tony, for having me on the show. Glad to be here.
Well, let's talk first about, the president really almost slap dab in the center of the president's State of the Union address was his discussion of religious freedom, his defense of religious freedom. Of course, I believe that all of our freedoms hinge on that first freedom, the freedom of religion.
Yeah.
The president hitting those themes again this morning.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you think about the basis of our freedom, it is a fixed moral right and wrong. And for the vast majority of us, that is based in our faith. And so what makes democracy work, that fixed moral right, it is our faith. And so those of us like you and I who are Christian, we cling to that, and it's probably for me and you and millions of Americans, it's the most important thing in our lives. And clearly the president has, more than any president in my lifetime, been an advocate and a warrior for religious freedom. And there are threats all across the country. He talked about it, taking crosses down. We're not doing that in this nation anymore. Military officers who can't pray in the name of Jesus at their change of command ceremonies. That stuff is done. And this president, he's all for it. So I think that's awesome.
And he made that point in his comments. He said, look, I'm fighting for these things. I'm doing these things. In fact, it was at the March for Life a couple of weeks ago where he made the comment. He said, they're fighting me because I'm fighting for you. I think the president sees the connection of pushing forward these core value issues, these foundational issues, that this is in part what is inciting the left against him.
Well, absolutely. You can't, the far left can't say they're for a fixed moral right and wrong, because 20 years ago they argued that abortion should only happen in rare instances, and now they're talking about all the way up and during labor. So very clearly, their moral relativity is tied to nothing. What's next for those guys? Who knows? But faith bases our freedom in a fixed moral right and wrong. And our founding fathers said this is critical to democracy. You can't have freedom and democracy without a fixed moral right and wrong in faith. And so, it is tearing at the very foundation. The president recognizes it, and he is fighting for us and for our founding principles.
I want to play a clip from this morning's breakfast where the president was talking about how other nations are following America's lead and how we're, even in our foreign policy, we're making this a top priority, and it's having a difference. Play clip number four.
Last year at the United Nations, I was honored to be the first president to host a meeting of religious freedom. It was based all on religious freedom. That was the first meeting of its kind ever held at the United Nations. There I called upon all nations to combat the terrible injustice of religious persecution. And people listened. And countries that we give billions of dollars to, they listened because they had to listen. It's amazing how that works, isn't it? But nobody ever played that game before.
I mean, the president is playing hardball, even with countries around the world saying, hey, religious freedom is a priority. You get a lot of money from us. We expect you to respect these fundamental human rights.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And, the difference you kind of talked about, it's making a difference. The United Arab Emirates is hosting a prayer breakfast, its first prayer breakfast this year. And that's the kind of change that's happening all across the globe because we got a leader here in America. He mentioned this morning in his prayer breakfast about Iran and confronting a regime that doesn't allow religious freedom. The young woman who converted to Christianity and now is being tried by their court system. We got a president who stands up for religious freedom, and I'm proud of him for that and many other things.
The president today also at noon hosting a gathering there in the East Room. I was there as he talked about the acquittal. That came in, that theme made its way a little bit into this morning's prayer breakfast.
Yeah,
I mean, how can it not? You know, the president's gone through quite an ordeal, vindicated last night in the vote in the Senate. And then, of course, one thing he did when he walked in, he held up the newspapers with the headlines, Trump acquitted. He was certainly greeted with a lot of applause. I think he was enthusiastically received there at the prayer breakfast. But do you think the games are over, or do you think we're going to continue to see the partisanship that he was made reference to? It's tearing our country apart.
You know, I think some in the left are going to continue to push it. You know, you take somebody like Nadler or Schiff. They're going to continue to try to investigate him. These guys are not done. They hate him. I mean, this Trump derangement syndrome is evident. They're hurting the country for the sake of attacking this guy. And that's, you know, it basically points to their goal is power over the people. It's very obvious. So yes, I think it continues. I think it's losing its, power, though. It's losing its air, so to speak. If you saw his State of the Union, there was a poll, I think it was by CBS, 82% of independents were with him on the State of the Union address. 82% of independents. I mean, the Democrats want to continue down this pathway. It's just going to continue to hurt them. The president is a good man. I know him. And he's going to get there. But today was about just saying, hey, this has been an incredible ordeal in my family, and right now I'm processing it. I that's what I got from his speech this morning. And I think he gets there. He's a good guy. He's going to get there. But today he's letting everybody know this has been an ordeal for my entire family. It has tied up our government, and it was wrong. It blatantly wrong.
You brought up a term that's used often is the Trump derangement syndrome. What's behind that? What do you think it is that just incites these people to do things that are just, you know, that never been done before?
I've put a lot of thought into this, and the thing that I can come up with, the best answer I can give you, Tony, is that, you know, the last 20 to 30 years in America, the left screams really loud about some crazy thing, and Republicans go, oh my goodness, we can't go there, so we better meet them halfway here. And then they go a little further to the left, and they scream some crazy thing like universal rent control, which AOC just mentioned the other day. But this guy, he's done appeasing. I mean, he has put a stake in the ground and said, this is as far as left we're going. And I think they hate that because they've been able to move Republicans and get some appeasers to kind of meet them halfway. And Trump is like, we're done with that. And I think that's why they hate him so much.
You know what? I think you're absolutely right. I agree with you. I think that's what it is. I think he is unlike any other Republican before who's willing to just kind of, you know, give up the ground. What most Republicans, when they come in behind a liberal Democrat, will push the pause button on the bad policies, but they don't undo them. I was on Fox and Friends this morning. I said, well, I think the reason the left hates him so much is he's dismantling the infrastructure of the left that they've used to come after people of faith and they've used to promote big government.
That's exactly right. And what he's also doing is guys like myself and others all across this country are getting in the political process who are with him, who are sick and tired of it. And we're putting, I mean, I'm right there with him. I'm putting the stake in the ground. We're not going any further to the left. And oh, by the way, we're coming back on some of these issues like religious freedom, like abortion. I mean, we keep going in the direction we're going with the millennials moving in our direction on abortion. We're going to overturn Roe v. Wade in this country.
Yeah, I see that happening, especially if we continue to see the change that's taking – the transformation, I should say, that's taking place in the courts. We're moving back to judges and justices that actually respect the Constitution and not rip it up.
Yeah, and you got guys on the president's team like Pompeo and Esper. These are leaders who are making a difference, who are, putting a stand. We're going to secure this southern border. 75% decreases in apprehensions. You know, Wolf has done a fantastic job over there. I mean, you got Esper. He's building the military back, leading over there at DOD. You got Mike Pompeo, who is also fighting this religious freedom overseas. Great leaders recruit great people to follow them, and that's another super positive thing from this president.
Yeah, 100% agree with you. Congressman Green, thanks so much for taking time to join us today. Always great to talk with you.
Always great to be with you, Tony. Take care.
You can find out more about our efforts to defend faith, family, and freedom in Washington, D.C. and around the country when you visit TonyPerkins.com. We'd also encourage you to support our ongoing efforts with a gift when you visit TonyPerkins.com and click on the donate link at the bottom of the page. That's TonyPerkins.com.
What other trip to Israel can you take that combines walking where Jesus walked with meeting today's Israeli leaders? This is Tony Perkins, President of Family Research Council, inviting you to spend an incredible 9 days in Israel with me, General Jerry Boykin, and former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann from June the 2nd through the 12th. You'll discover the roots of your faith and learn from experts about the geopolitical landscape of the region. For more information, visit TonyPerkins.com or call 844-872-5155.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. In a surprising move that will adversely affect the poorest children in Florida, Wells Fargo and Fifth Third Bank have decided to stop donating to Florida's Step Up for Students scholarship program. Joining Tony Perkins to discuss this misguided decision is Senator Marco Rubio of Florida.
Senator, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
This gives children of low income opportunities to go to school so that they can advance themselves and have futures and have careers and have opportunities. But now we see big business, Wells Fargo, groups like that are coming against it because they're trying to score points with the left.
Yeah, so how the program works, and look, I've always supported it, but where it's become very personal to me is I now know dozens and dozens of families that have benefited from it. Okay, and how it works is, you know, you're a low-income family. It gives you the opportunity to send your kids, not just to take them out of a school you don't like, but to put them into a learning environment that's going to provide them opportunities for courses and to be around an educational environment they would never have the chance to go to if they didn't make a lot of money. And I've seen some of these kids that use the scholarship and graduate go on to the Naval Academy, to West Point, to Harvard, to some of the best institutions in the country. They never would have been able to have those opportunities that came from going with those schools. And the parents choose. No, the schools have to accept the scholarship, but the parents choose the school. Okay. Now, here comes Wells Fargo, okay, this great beacon of morality who has been caught just a few years ago and fraudulently opening up accounts, savings accounts, checking accounts on behalf of their clients so they can charge them fees and all that. And here they come now basically saying, we're no longer going to donate to the program because we don't like the fact that there's some religious schools that have policies that align with the doctrine of the church or the faith that led to their founding. And by the way, they call them anti-LGBT policies, but if you look at them, many of them are just policies that basically say that the only acceptable and moral sexual behavior is between a husband and a wife. Okay, that's a biblical teaching, and these are schools that are right. Christian schools and Bible-based schools. That's why it's in their policies. Number one, if a student doesn't want to take the scholarship and go to that school, they don't have to. But what really set me off is doing what they did is not going to hurt those schools. Those schools are not going to abandon the Bible over a government program. They existed before this program, and they'll right. exist after. They're not, who they're hurting are low-income kids who, because they're not going to be able to go to school, and probably to a school that doesn't have those policies, by the way, because the way this thing is funded is the number of students who use the scholarship is entirely dependent on how much funding the program gets. The more funding, the more kids they can accommodate every year. There are kids next year that may lose their scholarship, that may be told you can no longer attend the school you're attending, not because of policies. The school may not even have the policies, but because we don't have enough money this year for you because we lost two donors. So it's just a reminder that what you often see now in corporate America is they believe they can buy themselves into the good graces of broader society by just adhering to some pressure and bullying from radicals on the left.
Senator Rubio, I think it's an extremely important point that you made, that this is not going to hurt the schools. The schools are not going to abandon the Bible. After all, that's why they're religious schools. It's going to prevent students from having the resources through this scholarship program to go to that school and other schools as a result. And this comes at a time when the test scores in our public school systems are declining. Consistently declining, which is sending shockwaves across the educational landscape, because you know that the best way for a child to rise in society and to be successful is to get a good education. That unlocks so many doors.
You know what's most hypocritical about it is some of the people that lead the charge on this kind of thing, that are making a lot of money, they don't put their kids in the public school system, and if they do, it's in a magnet school. And look, that's their right as parents, and I'm not criticizing them for doing it. They are putting their schools, their kids in elite schools and schools with incredible programs. But what they're arguing is we are not in favor of people who can't afford this to have the same thing. We're not in favor of it. And we're not in favor of it if the school, if some of the schools participating in this program happen to have religious beliefs that don't align with what, you know, the current, you know, pressure tactic might be that's being applied to them from at a corporate level. That's what outrages me. Every one of these executives have their kids at elite prep schools, boarding schools and the like, but they're going to cut. As a result of their decision, there are kids next year from low-income families that will lose their scholarship in Florida to go to a similar school because of this decision. So it doesn't even hurt the schools they're going after. It's hurting the kids.
Of course, it's not only big business that has this this view. I mean, you even have some of your colleagues like Elizabeth Warren, who recently, in response to the Montana case that's before the Supreme Court on a very, very similar program, basically says that students shouldn't be able to go to schools. Money should not go to those schools that have views that are not in favor of LGBTQ community. In other words, if you have a standard biblical morality, which says, as you've said earlier, marriage is between a man and a woman, sexual relations is between a married man and a woman, if that's your view, there's no room for you in the public square, is essentially what they're saying.
Well, it's actually, if you extend out the argument, what's the next step in the argument they're making? Because this program in Florida, this is not state dollars. This is money that a company would have to have paid the state of Florida, but in lieu of paying that tax, they can donate it for the scholarship, okay? So you may say, I'll tell you what's the difference. Money, if you apply it to the federal tax code, what that means is that if I give a contribution to a church, that's money that would have gone to the government had I not made that contribution. So the next step here is to say, by the way, no one should be able to write off from their taxes any money they give churches or any organization that
You're
teaches.
You're absolutely right.
You know what, and you can fill in the blank. So the next step here is to go after the tax exempt status of any church or faith for that matter that teaches things that they don't like, that they don't agree with. That's the next step here, to take away the tax exempt status, because that's the next logical step of what they're arguing.
Senator, I think you unfortunately are absolutely right. That is their objective. Many, many. Senator, out of time. I want to thank you for joining us, and I want to thank you for championing this this program and also speaking up for
thank
these
you.
Children and against big business. That is very, very hypocritical.
You can find out more about Senator Rubio when you visit tonyperkins.com. We'd also encourage you to help FRC continue to produce this radio program with a one-time gift or by becoming a stand member. You can donate when you visit tonyperkins.com and click on the donate link at the bottom of the page. That's tonyperkins.com.
What are you reading this winter? Looking for timely and original commentary on human dignity, marriage, and religious liberty? We've got you covered at frcblog.com. The content on our blog is written by our policy experts, FRC staff, as well as outside contributors. Read about a wide variety of topics like crimes in the criminal state of China, how Game of Thrones mainstreamed sexual exploitation, transgender regret, the rise of the detransitioners, and many more. Stand for truth by staying informed at frcblog.com.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. Following the National Prayer Breakfast on Thursday, FRC President Tony Perkins was joined by the CEO of Samaritan's Purse, Franklin Graham, to talk about President Trump's efforts to defend religious liberty.
Franklin, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony, for having me.
Now, Franklin, you were at the march a week and a half ago when the president spoke. I think that he, in part, is being targeted because he is standing up and defending the values that so many of us care deeply about.
Well, you know, I don't know if that's the case or not, but the president is making a statement by going, and he's letting the world know I care about life. But when he went to the UN back a few months ago, I was there when he gave his speech to the United Nations challenging the leaders of the world to respect religious freedom. And religious freedom was not just Christians, but it's Muslim and it's Hindu, it's Baha'i, it's everybody, but respecting people of faith and to protect that. And the president did a tremendous job, and he was the only president in history to ever do that. And he is fighting for us, and he is being attacked. I just see this, Tony, really as kind of a spiritual warfare. Because even though, I mean, the president's not a perfect person, no question about that. But he's got a lot of faults, but at the same time, he's a man that I believe in God, and he wants to do the best that he can for this country, for our children and our grandchildren. I think he really does want to see America great again. He's not in this for the money. He's got plenty of money. Matter of fact, he gives his salary. I think this may be the first president to ever do that, to give his salary away. And, Tony, I respect him, and I thank God for him. I think of the judges that he's appointed, not just the Supreme Court, but the federal judges. And one thing that we look over sometimes is his number one choice was selecting Vice President Mike Pence. This guy is, I mean, he is tremendous, and he stands with us, and he believes he's an evangelical. And the president, of all the people he could have chosen, he chose Mike Pence. So I'm just so thankful for the decisions the president's making and is continuing to make as it relates to fighting for us. Religious freedom is a huge issue.
I want to ask you about this, Franklin. The president's not doing this in a vacuum or with a very favorable backdrop. The backdrop to his stand for religious freedom is coming at a time when religious freedom, orthodox religious beliefs, whether it be Jewish, Muslim, Christian, is under attack when it comes to human sexuality. And there is this big clash between the LGBTQ advocates and religious freedom, the ability to live your faith out, whether it's marriage, being a union of a man and a woman. This is under attack, and Christians are being marginalized because of biblical views, but yet this president continues to stand up and fight for their right to believe.
You know, under the Obama administration, we saw the Kleins out in Oregon, Mrs. Schultzman. The Kleins had a bakery. The Schultzman, she was a florist. We saw the family in, I think it was Olympia, Washington. They were the pharmacists, and they refused to carry the drugs for abortion. And so these people get sued, and they end up losing their businesses. Then the legal costs just mount up, and the hardship it puts on these people because they have religious convictions.
Right.
And that's coming from the left. That's coming, for the most part, from the LGBTQ community. And I don't attack them, and I don't go and preach against them. I don't go to their meetings and boo them. I just let them do what they do. But at the same time, I don't believe the way they believe. I believe in marriage between a man and a woman. That's what the Bible defines as marriage. I don't believe that marriage is between two men or two women. It's between a man and a woman. And I've been asked, is homosexuality a sin? Well, that's, of course, it is. Any type of sexual relationship outside of a marriage relationship between a man and a woman is sin. But lying is a sin. Adultery is a sin. Stealing is a sin. And the fact is only we're all sinners before God. And all of us need God's forgiveness. So that the only way that we can come to God is through faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus came to this earth to take our sins on the cross. He died and shed his blood for our sins. And that includes Franklin Graham as a sinner. And the LGBTQ community, if you tell them that they're sinners, or what God calls them as sinners, they get angry, they get mad, they want to fight with you. And I'm just saying, hey, the Bible says we're all sinners, we're all guilty, we're all in the same pot. But yet God so loved the world that he gave his son. Jesus Christ came to take our sins, and if we're willing to accept that by faith and turn, repent from our sins, God will forgive our sins and he'll heal us. And I want the world to know that, too. I'm not going to back up from telling people that, but there's a price when you stand up for the cross. There's a price when you stand up for what the Bible says. And I've just experienced this in England, where we're getting ready to go in late May to go through the middle of June, preaching in 8 different cities. And the LGBTQ community went to the venues, and they put out an online petition saying that I preach hate speech and I'll bring disharmony to the community. So therefore, Franklin's contract or the BGA's contract should be stopped. And so these venues have canceled our contracts. Now, we have a legal contract. We haven't broken any laws. We haven't said anything that's going to hurt anybody. I'm not coming to preach against homosexuality. I'm coming to preach the cross. But yet, because they went to these businesses, the businesses sided with them and did not even bother to check the facts. They just canceled the contracts. Now, we're going to have to take legal action, but that could take a number of years to get that settled. But we're still going to go. We'll just find other venues somewhere else to preach. But at this late state, it's difficult. But if God's in this, he'll find even a better venue. But we're being attacked, Tony, just because of what we believe. Our religious freedom that is at stake here. Freedom of speech is at stake here.
Right.
And I think we need to push back.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us. And I encourage you to be back here next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234. 372-7234.